Well, guten Morgen. Guten Morgen. Wie geht's dir? Ganz gut, ne? Alright. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, maybe land of savannas as well, and desert. So good morning to you. Wherever you find yourself, whether you are around, down, right down there in the south, in Carlsberg. Haven't been in Carlsberg for a while now. So how are you doing in Carlsberg? You know, and are you in Katima? Whether you have found yourself in Katima, in Opuo, you know, in Henties Bay. And so what are the other towns? So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to Eagle FM. And thank you, David, for transferring the mic right here now in Ondangwa. So we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the numbers, the trends that are making headlines. So, and we keep it clear. We keep it clear here, a little witty and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of eight. We still have the very beginning of our show. So welcome and thanks for joining us. It's always, as I said, for us here, we enjoy this. We enjoy being in your company. We enjoy, and thanks for choosing us, especially at this point in time, to be in your company at this time. So, as usual, we looked at what happened on this day in Africa. Anything that is significant during the course of history, in Africa, what, anything that is that's much significant. So, welcome to On This Day in Africa. So, on the 30th of October in 1963, the warring states of Algeria and Morocco agreed to a ceasefire, making the end of the major active compact phase of the Sand War over their shared borders. Now, the ceasefire was part of the mediation effort facilitated by the Organization of African Unity, OAU. It was one of the earliest post-independence interstate conflict in North Africa and the Bantu Arab world. So highlighting the fragility of colonial borders and the role of African regional institution in conflict resolution. And starting on 30th of October, we get to our neighbors here in Angola. So starting on the 30th of October, 1992, in Rwanda, Angola, a large-scale elimination of members and supporters of the rebel party UNITA by the ruling party MPLA erupted. So following dispute result of the 1992 elections and the collapse of the peace process under the Bisese, you know, accord. So thousands are estimated to have been killed in the days that followed. The event marked the resumption of a full-scale civil war in Angola, reversing progress towards peace. And on the 30th of October in 1974, in Kinshasa, then in the country of Zaire, Democratic Republic of the Congo, the legendary The legendary boxer Muhammad Ali defeated George Foreman by knockout in the eighth round to regain the heavyweight title. So while not strictly a political or governance event, this sporting moment resonates deeply across Africa and globally. So, and in 1991, on this day, 1991, the government of Sierra Leone signed a peace agreement, although the conflict continues for several more years. So the war caused massive destruction and displacement in Sierra Leone. Now, in 1963, South Africa Bantu Education, you remember the Bantu Education Act? This was actually a turning point in South Africa's education history. So this was now institutionalizing apartheid policy in school. So, and it marked a significant step in the country's racial segregation policies. So, that's all we have for you on this day in Africa. Some of the significant events that happened, or historical events that happened in our mother continent. All right, so what is our thought for the day? So, we're quoting a Proverb 10, verse 17. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So, this proverbs, it carries a rich meaning about character, learning, and influence. So, the first half is saying, if you are humble and willing to learn and follow good instruction, you set yourself on a path of well-being and purpose. So, and the second part warns that if you are unteachable, okay, if you are unteachable and disregard wise advice, you are not only off the road to life yourself, but you may drag others off the road as well. So now, in your context, how do you cultivate a culture of being teachable and humble? So you do that in the family, you do that in schools, you do that in business, at work. So that you are on the way to life rather than leading others astray. So that's our thought for the day. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Hopefully, you make, you know, in your decisions and choices that you make today, you don't lead others astray. So good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So thanks for joining us this morning, and we will be with you. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. When I will be handing you over again to Wintuk. So, what do you expect? What can you expect in the show today? What can you expect in the show today? So, first of all, we're going to look at Namibia's foreign reserve to decline to 47 billion after Eurobond repayment. So, and then around some minutes past nine, so we couldn't get him earlier, we will be speaking to an economist, Mr. Klaus Schade, so about Namibia's fully repays 13.5 billion euro bond. So we will be talking to him. What are the hidden costs? Are there any other costs maybe that we, of course, we're celebrating the repayment, you know, of that, but are there any hidden costs that maybe may affect our economic landscape? So that's what we're going to look at. And make sure that you stay tuned in. You know, what we're going to discuss now would lead up also to, you know, to that interview. And it will be very interesting that you stay tuned. So, and then, of course, your participation will also be part of the show. Make sure that you follow you unpacking with me, you unpack with me so that you can come through and be able to contribute to the show. So you will be welcome. So we'll be open the line at some point for you to come through. So good morning to you and welcome if you're just joining us. This is Unpacking the Day. So, and we will be back after this. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a father and Anna, longish fa, yai, she became a shiwana. E. Moyawa, or Tango got the money. Anna, the shifa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Omjika. Faith and Anna, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, longish fire, Yokopiramo, Ekelefem Media House. We 20 Nomeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi fareki uimu po iyo mwe programa detu. Moambo lengira seoma konarahe tatu imu. Datunda tu heari hamano tano oni aji. Ikele FM for us.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. That's what we do here. That's all what we do, you know. So, thanks for joining me and good morning, Namibia. So, welcome. Welcome and welcome. So this is your space, as I always said, for sharp analysis, you know, open discussion, honest talk about what is shaping, you know, our country, you know, today. So, and this morning, all because of the Eurobond, okay, all because of the Eurobond repayment made yesterday, or it could be made this month. So, but yesterday was the deadline. Yesterday or today? 29th was the deadline. Okay. So yesterday was the deadline. So now Namibia's foreign reserves are projected now to decline to a 47 billion by the end of 2025. All right. So let me give you a little bit of a background. What is going on? What happened? What is why? Eh? We're all thinking, okay, what happened then? Is this a problem? Okay. Is this a problem that our Namibia, that our foreign reserves, you know, decline, you know, to 47 billion? Yeah. So let me give you a bit of a background. Back in 2015, okay, let me not start now until, you know, we go to the market, all right? So we will do that after this commercial break.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Definitely, the you in UNAM is you. All right, welcome back. So I was just about to give you a little bit of a background to why Namibia's foreign reserves are projected to decline to 47 billion by the end of 2025. Is that a good or bad thing? Now, so back in 2020, in 2015, so I think David also actually, you know, discussed some of these things with you. So, yeah, let's look at also maybe from a different perspective as well. So, back in 2015, Namibia borrowed a 750 million. That's about 100 and what? A billion in Namibian dollar. That's in US dollar. So, now we borrowed, being a Kwanyama, jeez, we borrowed. So we borrowed 750 million on the international market through something called a Eurobond. You know, don't get, you know, mixed up or just think, what is the Eurobond? In plain English, that's a loan. A loan Namibia took from a global investors. That's all what it means. So a Eurobond. So it's a loan Namibia took from a global investor. So from global investors, promising to pay them back, you know, in 10 years with interest, of course. So we promise in 10 years, we're going to pay you. And, yeah. So that's, and then that 10 years period is now up. The 10 period is now up. We paid the bond, and we paid in full. Hoo ha! We paid in full. We paid in full. You know, yeah, we pay. We pay. No, we have to celebrate that we paid in full. You know, so because there are other countries that actually in trouble because of those things. Okay, now we paid in full. So the repayment was planned and expected, but. Still a bit. So when you think of it, 750,000, still a big chunk of money, man, leaving the country, you know? So, and the question is actually, maybe that's what we're going to go into. What have we done with that? What have we done with that 750,000? Huh? I mean, not thousand. What have we done with 750 million, you know, US dollar? You know, what have we done with that? All right, mate, that's what we're probably going to unpack. But to add to that, that's why the big chunk of money leaving the country, that's why our foreign reserves are dipping from around 63 billion last year to expected, say, 47 billion by the end of this year. It's because of that chunk of money leaving the country that our foreign reserves are dipping from 63 billion to 47 billion. That's why. Now, the foreign reserves, by the way, are like country's emergency saving account. You know, this is now your country's emergency saving account. You know, it's held, normally it's held now in foreign currencies. So they are used, this account now, they are used, the foreign currency are used now to pay for imports. So manage the currency, you manage the currency peg to the South African rand and reassure investors in Namibia that, reassure the investors that Namibia can pay its bill even in tough times. Huh? So that's what it really, you know, all about. So, okay, let's come back now. Let's now get to the real thing, you know, to the, what is actually the government's view about, you know, repaying, the bond, the Eurobond, you know, repaying our loan. So they're saying, hey, we are, everything is under control. Eh? Don't worry. Everything is under control. So the Ministry of Finance and the Bank of Namibia say there's no cause for alarm. Okay? Even if, you know, there's no cause for alarm, even if our foreign reserves are dipping from now 63 billion to, you know, to 47 billion, they say, hey, Yemuni Warini, Alice is all right. Eh? So, the finance minister, Erika Shafuda, explained that this was part of the sovereign debt management strategy, a long-term plan to manage how we borrow and repay. Okay? That's why he said, hey, man, cool down. Cool. Okay, cool down. Now, so they argue, both the Bank of Namibia and the Minister of Finance, they argue that the drop in reserve is temporary. You know, it's temporary and it's manageable. So, because now, listen here, it is temporary and it's manageable because 80% of our debt is now domestic. Eh? 80% of our debt now is domestic. That means we owe most of our money to local investors. And those who are the local investors, it's still your money, your pension fund, the banks, that the money you put in the bank, and national and any other Namibian institutions. So now I said, don't worry. The reserve is temporary, it's manageable, because 80% of our debt is now domestic. Debt is just debt, man. No matter what it is. Whether you borrowed from your brother or you borrowed from a, you know, from the bank or you, debt is just debt. Okay? There might be ways, of course, your brother might be lenient in terms of, you know, but it's still debt. Debt is debt. All right? So now they said, well, yeah. So because of that, you know, because of our most, no, we're not coming. Our money is not coming from foreign lenders. So it's coming from, we're not borrowing from foreign lenders. Much of our 80% is not from the, is from, you know, local investors, not from foreign lenders. So that supposed to reduce now our foreign currency risk. All right. Are you following? So because we're not borrowing from foreign lenders, so that's supposed to reduce our foreign currency risk. All right? So now the Bank of Namibia also say our reserve, even after this big payment, so still covers now, it still covers about 3.1 months of import, okay, which they describe as, well, adequate. So that's still adequate actually to cover a 3.1 months of import. All right. So chill out. That's what they're telling you. Chill out. We're okay. I'm going to disappoint you. All right. So in their eyes, the system is stable. Inflation is low and the economy remain resilient. Okay. So in their eyes, all is well. Okay? Lariko kangari kombwa. You know, don't worry. Laro kangari kombwa, because everything is well. But is everything really, really fine? Okay? Now that's the official. That's now we hear the official story. Okay. Now, you and I, but here on Unpacking the Day, we like to look beyond the press statement. Okay? We don't just read it. We look beyond those press statements and beyond the official, you know, statement. Now, let's start with this 47 billion in reserves. Let's start with that. Sounds like a lot. Okay. But context matter. Okay. That sounds like it's a lot of money, but context matter, really. Now, in 2015, okay, when Namibia issued that that Eurobond, our reserves were about 14 billion. You see? It was about 14 billion. So, yes, we have grown. So, from 14 billion to, well, it's going to be about 47 billion to 63 billion. All right? So, our reserves have definitely grown. But you know what also has grown? Do you know what also has grown? So our public debt. So our public debt has also grown, now sitting at over 70% of GDP, according to the latest Ministry of Finance figures. 70% of GDP. Our debt has grown as well. Now, expert tells you that's actually higher for a small economy with limited export diversity. So we talked about yesterday, it's only mining and what? Mining and diamond is becoming a problem. Mining and fishing that we export. So the expert tells you that that's actually higher for a small economy. Sorry, I had a bit of water. For a small economy with limited export diversity. So it's something that we talk about, diversity. You know, hear this a lot, but are we doing anything, you know? Now, so the repayment is good news in one sense. It shows physical discipline. Yeah, it's true, shows physical discipline. But the real question is, okay, what comes next? What comes next? How do we rebuild those reserves? Do you have an idea? Anyone have your hands up? Do you have any idea how we're going to rebuild those reserves? Because if another, or maybe not another, if any global shock hit us, one thing that we can maybe start thinking about, we're talking about already, it's diamond, okay? The diamond demand, it's dipping. So that's one thing. How are we going to rebuild those reserves? Okay, and where's off? The other day, 2 days before, a day before ago, we're talking about NamWater, talking about a shortage of water in the months to come. That means, what if we are hit by a drought? No? You say, Laro Kangari Kombwa, because, you know, we still have about 3 months, you know, we can cover still, you know, 3 months of import. Yeah? You can... Now, in the next 3 months that we're talking about, so what if we are hit by a drought? So then we have less of financial cushion to fall back on. Huh? Now, think of these two things are very important. Think of how do we rebuild those reserves? All right? And get me right, don't get me wrong, that repayment of these would be like, it's terrible. Why, you know, that's why I'm talking like this. No. It's a good thing. But it doesn't leave us like, okay, we're okay. Eh? There are issues that we may consider as well. And we should be ready about that. First of all, as I said, how will you build our reserves, those reserves? Okay? And what if we are hit by drought? Because that's something typical for Namibia. So that cushion that you have, whoop, is gone. It's gone. Can you assure me that can't happen? Can you? Definitely not. So, now let's look at this claim that domestic borrowing protects us, okay? Let's look at that as well. And we're going to do that after this, at this commercial.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So let's look at the claim that domestic borrowing protect us. Yes, I think it reduces our exposure to exchange rate swings. You know, today how much? The US dollar is this much. The British pound is this much, and you know that kind of swing. It it reduces our exposure to the exchange rate swings, you know? Yeah, because most of the domestic, because our domestic debt is in Namibian dollar or South African rand, okay? So, yeah, then it protects us from that. But it also means the government is, and this is something that we talked about at one point, and there was one caller who came through and really gave a good explanation about this. I wish I can remember who was that one. And if you're listening to me, please do come through and explain this more. So, but it also means the government is competing with the private sector for the same pool of local money. So that also means that, as we said, well, the domestic, you know, borrowing domestically, it protecting us, but it creating also another, you know, what? It's also creating that the government now is competing with the private sector for the same pool of local money. And when the government now, when the government borrows heavily from local banks and pension funds, there is less credit available for ordinary businesses, especially for you as an SME. So now you're competing with the government. So there is less credit available for ordinary business. And that's what economists call a crowding out. Yeah, so crowding out. So, and that's a problem for business, for local investors, for local, for doing business, because you're competing with the government. And the irony is, you know, while domestic debt is seen as safe, it can actually stifle local investment. Well, if it's not managed carefully, you know, if it's not managed carefully. So the Public Finance Management Act and also the National Development Plans, so both emphasize balancing, you know, physical stability with your private sector growth. And that balancing is not always easy actually to maintain. So it's something that we need to look at. We need to think, you know, carefully and manage carefully, borrowing locally. So the Bank of Namibia says we are in a disinflationary environment. We are in disinflationary environment, meaning prices are rising slowly, you know, around 3.6%. So that's good news. That's good news, I think. That's a good news, I think, on the surface. Okay, on the surface. But if economic growth is slowing from 3.7 last year to just above 3% this year, now it raises another concern. Now, the concern is, are we growing fast enough actually now to rebuild reserves naturally? Yeah? Are we? So you gotta factor all this in, man. So the foreign reserves are replenished through export, tourism, foreign investment. But if a global demand of our diamond, for example, and the other time where we hear the meat is also, you know, so is softening or it's becoming less and less. As the bank admits, the gang admits about this, then where is the next boost going to come from? So the next boost of our foreign reserves, where is it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? And we have been talking about for years about diversifying the economy. Even recently we were talking about that. Manufacturing, green hydrogen, logistic, all central to Vision 2030 and NDP6. But progress remains slow. Progress remains slow. And every dip in reserves, every dip in reserves, remind us how dependent we still are on a few export commodities. Fishing and mining. Well, we will have an economist, and so he will dissect. I'm just questioning and looking at things that I don't understand or things that I think, what about that? You know, what about that? So the government says this repayment shows Namibia is a disciplined borrower. Yeah? We are a disciplined borrower. Yeah? And that's true. That's very true. And it's important. Yeah? It is true and it's very important because defaulting on a Eurobond would have been disastrous. It would have been disastrous. We have countries like Zambia who learned that hard. They learned that the hard way when they missed the payment and were really locked out of international market. Eh? So it is true and it is important. So we are disciplined borrower. Okay, give ourselves, you know, let's clap ourselves. Eh? What is that? Let's give ourselves a round of applause, you know. All right. So now, think about credibility. Now, think about the credibility question. Now, but the credibility abroad must be matched with credibility at home. Are we borrowing responsibly? Okay, are we using debt to fund productive job-creating projects or are we just patching budget holes? Yeah. We must be, or are we just actually patching, you know, the budget holes? So I asked earlier, what have we used? Yes, we can say it. Yeah, we prepay back. Okay, but what did we do with that money? Anyone? Any evidence of anything that we have done with that money? Maybe there are, you know, I'm throwing it there to you. I'm just throwing that to you. You know, anything. Okay, in 2015, maybe let me create another angle. In 2015, is job unemployment rate, was it higher than what it is now? So have we used that money by creating more jobs? I'm just asking. Well, it looks like, well, unemployment is more. It's higher than it was in 2015. Then what did we use the money for? Okay, I'm trying to think. Well, there could be some. What have we? What is standing out? Anyone can help me? What stand out? Anything that stand out? That we can say that yeah, we use that money for. Have we built railway? Yesterday we were talking about, have we improved our railways? Because that's important for trade. Not really. What? I'm really thinking hard. Anyone can help me? No, seriously. Okay. I'm trying to be, you know, how would I say it? But really, seriously. Okay. There could be other things that we have done, of course, but how much have we used properly? What have we used that debt to fund? Have we fund productive job creating project? Or as I said, are we just borrowed that money actually to patching up, you know, to patch up budget holes? Now, the Fiscal Responsibility Act, which is an act that requires Namibia to maintain a debt sustainability. It's within our law. But sustainability isn't just about a ratio. It's not just about a ratio. It's about outcomes. It's about outcomes. If debt doesn't lead to inclusive growth, it becomes a burden. It's not a tool anymore that you can use to develop yourself. Then it becomes a burden. Kabish? So where to from here? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? So what can Namibia do? So there are a few steps that stand out from the minister. When the minister actually talked, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? The minister talked about enhancing local mobilization. So enhancing local mobilizations. That's what I was asking. Where are we going to boost our domestic revenue? So where are we going to boost our domestic revenue? Well, it could be better tax collection. That could be one way, yes. Better tax collection, that's one way. Well, reducing, because this is what the government is also trying to do, reducing, wastage, like, you know, cutting out some middlemen, you know. So what else? Reducing some leakages as well. Not necessarily new taxes, but, you know. So there are a few things that we can do. All right, but are they enough to boost our domestic revenues with the slow economic growth? All right, so now the other thing is that we have a problem, in terms of export. Our export is not diversified. It's not diversified enough, So now. So sectors like energy, logistics and agriculture, we keep saying they hold untapped potential. It's every year, it's untapped potential, untapped potential, untapped potential every year. So when are we going to have this? When are we going to have this potential become a reality? So we should actually grow export beyond diamond, as we know. Beyond diamond is that because of synthetic diamond, the diamonds export has dipped, And meat also, we starting to have some issues, with our market. So we must grow export beyond those, beyond fishing and mining. In other sectors like energy, logistics. We're doing little there, and the question is it enough? Is it fast enough to boost our domestic revenue? Now, the other thing is also, now, and this is very important for me, do we have a right actually to know how the borrowed money is actually spent? As citizens, do we have right to know how the borrowed money is spent? Anyone? Do we have the right to know how the borrowed money actually is spent? Line by line. So we're looking at what do we need to do, Strengthen that physical transparency. So because how do I hold you accountable? Okay, let's go to market.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
All right. So come back. Welcome back. Now, that's what I'm asking. How do I Now, the question is, how do I hold you accountable? And I'm going to come into you. I'll open up my line now and in a short time. So, now, how do I hold you accountable when I don't know how are you using the money? How are you spending the money? Line by line. Okay? Let's get to the first caller.
A very good morning.
Morning, my guy.
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Yep.
Yes. It's good if you are in that position.
Yeah.
If Namibia is in that position, we are happy. Other countries were told at 23 million, or is it billion or million? Like Ethiopia.
Yeah.
We have heard. So that is a good position for us to actually, if we can sustain that, and even the money that you are saying, where do we get? How did they pay that money? I think they reserve it.
Yes.
They prudently manage the finance there. And we are the one actually is decision to service those kind of loans. It is good if they are doing that in domestic, from domestic.
Yeah.
I know our GIPF and many other entities are growing money to have so big reserves. Maybe will we see funds has contributed, and I'm sure they have contributed. If we can create those funds or activities that generate money, because money is not just to pluck from the tree. So you create activities that can generate money.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one. How much have we used that money? How productive have we used that money?
Which one?
The money that we have borrowed.
Sure, but we have repaid it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we repaid it. Now, how much have we used? How productive have we used that money now?
I think we have used it productively, but hence we are the position of our. We are able to pay to repay.
Yeah, no, I understand that part. I'm asking, let's say, for example, you take a 10,000 loan. So, but that 10,000 loan, you know, you may be able to ask someone to pay that back. But what have you used the 10,000? Maybe you are just partying, having Kentucky, and you know, and
let's look at the economy.
That's the question I'm asking.
Let's look at the economy of scale. And I'm sure they are going to tell us, and it's already the evidence is there that that money that you have borrowed would have been used effectively or productively. That's the reason why. Otherwise, you could have found yourself in another debt. But if you have got debt within ourselves,
we found ourselves in another debt because we borrow locally now.
No problem. So if you borrow locally, then the local business people in the premier are also borrowing from the government, and then the private sectors, especially this time around when they have actually re-emphasized and they have strengthened their ties, their partnership, I'm sure. So we are doing very well. I know what your question, that if we could now find out from the authority how they use that money that they have borrowed, since they have paid it off, now maybe that money is now channeled into the mainstream of the economy. Mm. And I think if they are to borrow from the within, and that's good enough.
Yeah, I was given an example. I was given something to say. Look, on 2015, when we borrowed, okay, that money, so our unemployment rate was it higher than what it is now?
And, you tell us.
You know, it wasn't. It wasn't higher than how it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So how have we used that?
You want to tell me that the employment rate since that time, after all the defense, after all the police, after all those sectors that they have employed, and all these other things, since that 2016, you have not that has not increased.
The unemployment rate has been increased since then.
So from that time when from 2015, without the deduction of those people that were employed, even though they were few.
But I'm talking statistically. Statistically,
tell us now what was the figure in 2016? What is the figure currently? So that we can then see that whether the money was used. If the money was not used, is it not because maybe the population has increased? Or whatever, which has surpassed the rate of unemployment. So you tell us those dynamics so that we can then digest that.
Yeah, statistically, the unemployment rate was less than 24% by
24%? I doubt that figure cannot be correct because we were up there.
So now it's actually 36.9.
Six what?
So 6.36%. That's 36.9%.
6.9%.
Yeah, that's our.
Oh, that has increased. People were talking about 50 something percent of unemployment rate.
No, for the youth is about 40%. So,
yeah.
So that's why I said, what have we done in terms of creating job? You know, from that Eurobond.
They might have channeled it into other sectors. So we now find out that yes, this one that we have borrowed, we have paid off, and this money was deviated to this other one and this other one and this other one.
Which one?
Oh, we don't know the social economic sector. You don't know the social economic sector. You want to tell me that the money was just there, it is just kept there, it's not being used.
No, that's, we're just asking, how we use.
So for you, since you have got the figure, you are able to tell us nicely, because you have the figure there and say, okay, 2015, this moderate was like this, and this is to reduce this thing, and I'm so sure it has been reduced, and so we paid off that money, and when we have the money in within ourselves here, of course it has to be channeled, there's no way it can be kept with the treasury, national treasury.
All right, Uncle Bueno,
no,
let's hear what others have to say, ne?
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, we're looking at... All right. Yeah. So, we challenge thoughts and ideas here, you know? Yeah. So, all right. So, now, as I said, we're looking at how do we then boosting up our, you know, our domestic revenues and also what is the key steps actually, you know, forward. And some of the things is that what the minister actually herself actually talk about. So strengthening, you know, physical transparency, rebuilding reserves steadily, not just through borrowing, not just through borrowing less, but through growing the economy faster. So, because our economy is really growing very, 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 very slowly. So what, let's hear from you. What do you think? So we still have about, let's say, for example, about 16 minutes before we get to our guest this morning. So, yeah, what do you say? So now this is where you come in now. So was paying off the Eurobond a right move at this time? Should government rely more on domestic borrowing, or should we keep a mixed with international investors as well? Should we just rely on given also the other things that we talked about, you know? And most importantly, how do we make sure Namibia's borrowing today build a better future for our children tomorrow? Not just debt repayment, not just that we repayment the debt, but how do we make sure that borrowing today builds a better future for our children tomorrow? 08-333-6609. So you are most welcome to come through and have your say. 08-333-6091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. And we have Dr. Omu Matundu. He's saying, Mike, good morning. You ask a very pertinent question. What did we use the Eurobond for, you know, and how much economic growth and employment did the Eurobond generate? So if the government can show us that there is something to show for, then the nation will be happy. All right. So please do come through. Our time, it's about 57 minutes past the hour of 8. Maybe around 10 minutes past 9. We will look for our guest this morning. But you're most welcome to come through now and have your contribution on what we just covered now. So where are you? Where are you finding yourself this morning? And our telephone number is 083-366-091. Exactly what I'm asking, and that's what Dr. Matundu is asking. So what is, you know, what has did the Eurobond generate? So how much economic growth and employment did the Eurobond generate? And he say, if the government can show us that, then what it has done with that so far, so then the nation will definitely be happy. So, all right, 083-366-091. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
your question there, but guys, what? Oh, government has been doing a lot, and even channeling 120 million to the businesses there.
Yeah,
there is a lot that happened.
Exactly. That's what you have to say. That's what, we're not saying you haven't done anything. We're just saying, show us.
The most of the budget that they are budgeting.
Yeah.
They are looking also where they can get money to funding those ones. So that's why, sometimes they don't have money in hand. They have to budget that. Or if we can afford to borrowing this such as amount,
yeah,
we can use it on this project. That's how they do. Not to say, because you cannot budget in something that you are not affording.
Yeah.
But if you can be able to get it, you're budgeting it. So that is what they're budgeting it on the euro bond.
Yeah.
And then they got it. So as I said, I think this one I'm repeating now maybe 20 times, that borrowing money is not a problem. And the other issue is that when you have assets in your hand,
yeah,
you have a chance of getting money anywhere in the world.
Mm.
So now maybe I have more openly to the FDI, and it's one of the topest in Africa.
Yeah.
That the FDI are comforting to do their business without even...
Yeah, we have created that environment. Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, we get that.
Yeah.
In terms of the national project, government has tried its best to funding with those money.
Mm.
So until they find it out that, no, it is easy. Now since the Memenetumbo's administration is monitoring the project,
yeah,
and the monitoring also the corruption.
Yeah.
So it's better for us to bring in the in local, because we know now it will be channeling the activity. Yeah. Not like before, you end up borrowing $2 billion to buy medicine and you cannot see medicine.
Exactly. What do you say to someone? What do you say to someone who said, look, I'm talking now the ordinary Namibian who go to the hospital and told, man, there's no medicine, you know, come next time. And now you hear, we have borrowed this amount of money, you know. What would, now, for you understand that, well, how does the government work and things like that? How, for someone, you know, who go to the clinic and he doesn't get medicines, and here the
government
has...
That is now the fault. Remember yesterday when I said we are not, the government is the one that needs to be blamed with his own CEO and ED.
Yeah.
Them, they are one that is approving those milking machines.
Yeah.
To that money to disappear. And now the question is come on the table of Mr. Fuda that, okay, the money that you're going, where have you contributed?
Mm.
Even to the budget.
Yeah.
Because we can see that you're budgeting $2 billion of medicine and people are still crying since 2015 that we are comparing. So those are the problems. We cannot even say the money was not there.
Yeah.
The money was there and we know the project that is milking. Most of that, even the story that we are talking about for Utombi 4.5 that you want. The quotation that was using or the calculation that was using, it may end up milking the money already and increasing the numbers.
Mm.
So those are the problems that 750 million might end up a lot. But if you look at how they were doubling up those invoices or those price of their product, it's where the money disappeared. So we cannot say there was no national project that was funded. I know some, as I give you an example of that, Minister of Finance issuing a lot of money to give to the Bank of Namibia, and Bank of Namibia give to the local
one can argue that if those projects that the government have now budgeted hasn't come, you know, some, of course, what we're talking, hasn't come to fruition, you know, we don't see that this is happening. It's all still on the government. Even if we have the EDs who actually then, you know, do as you say, it's still on the government. I'm just saying it's the government. I'm not going to say it's the ED. So I'm saying the government. Yeah.
Okay. Because not all ministries or not all government entities have been using those corruption.
No. We know. It's just
because generally. If you go to the Denoa there, or you go to the Ganjeke, you ask which one is they have a mess up book.
Yeah.
They will show you that this is then. Those are the type of good people to ask before you go to Memesha Food.
Yeah.
Because they are the ones that they know the failure of the government. They are the ones that is know the cases that is are there.
Yeah.
Because when they were looking for those books, they find out that some of those things were cooked.
Yeah, so it's a follow the chain. If a minister mess up like what Meme is doing, fire you, you know, fire the person. So it follows the chain. We want to see that chain, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to see that chain that, you know, if
they are coming there now.
Yeah.
Because they are coming there now to see that who is approving this. And I remember also. That was blaming those guys, those engineers who are inspecting those projects. They are proving something that is not complete.
Yeah.
And the money was paid. And look at even that Winduka Okahanja Road. It's also taking up a lot of money because it was standing for 6 months without money.
Mm.
Maybe it's the one that is pushing them to go asking that money. So there is a lot, and look at that project that he has also doing the road Windhoek to airport.
Yeah,
all those things are taking up millions of dollars. out of that. And as I said, the invoices or the quotation that they are submitted by those governments, those guys to the government, they are doubling the price. those ones, they are eating it up. Yeah, it's not that the man was not there.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the man was there, but to look or to point it to one project to another, we will see that if you ask the invoice of those projects, you're finding some who have already taken up two to three billion.
Yeah.
Take a stake of distance. And you go to another one which it was not even doing anything, they were just repairing it and asking a lot of money. Like the Mutumbi project, which I'm blaming now, that is not true. Because the highway has no pothole, but only the city, the town and village council and the city that have potholes. But you are telling us that you're needing 4.5 billion. And you are blaming also the trucks, which is not, they are just cracking some little bit with where you needing to just put involvement.
Yeah.
Mm. Those are the problems that we cannot say the man was not using. Yeah, the man was using. The project is only that their project is very expensive to maintain or to paying off. So that was the issue on my look. If I end up maybe get a chance to say, giving us even 10 lists of the project that was done within 3 years or 5 years, I can, but those some of those ones I know they were asking a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
We're going to look for our guests this morning. We're going to look at look for our guests this morning, and then I will allow you later then to come through if we still have time. All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to try to get him. All right.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafa Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyawa, Otaingo Botamani, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Omjom Banawa, Omjika, Saitanina, Omeguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefem Media House, Gue 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Para un pasi para aquí, we mo po yo mo programa de tu mo ambo dengera selma con la gente tu imu datu datu heri jamano talo o on the edge y que lo sem so high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right. Good morning, and welcome. Our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 9. I'm trying to get to Mr. Klaus. So his phone is just ringing at the moment. So I will try him again a little bit later, not later, maybe in a few minutes. So, what we can take away from, you know, as we wrap up this, you know. So Namibia has done, you know, the responsible thing by paying back what he owes. Financial discipline isn't just about repaying debt. So it's also about, it's about how we use the debt, how we grow and how we protect the nation's savings. So, for the next crisis. So that's also what it means. So foreign reserve may fall for now. But what matters most is whether we use this moment to rethink our economic model, from debt-driven spending to growing-driven development, you know? So, because at the end of the day, a strong economy isn't measured by what we owe. It's actually measured by what we build. So, yeah. All right, so let me try again and see if we get Mr. Shade. Stay tuned. We will be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna I Matina Omjo. Chikawa Shafasa Nana Longishi Fa Ya is Yikemoshiwana. Iya Moyawa or Tango got some money. Ah, Nagashifa Yanamibia on the Tomba Nawa Orangeka. Seithanina Omeaguro Nidanitoma Iwe Yongishifa Kupiamo Eagle FM Media House. We 20 minutes Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki iguimo po yomo e programa detu. Moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu. Katenda tu heari jamano tano o niyaj. Ike lefem. So
hi. All right, got him, but he say, call me in 3 minutes. I'm a little bit busy now. So, well, what can I do? All right, so, yeah, in 3 minutes I will be call him back. I got him. I managed to talk to him. And he said, at this point in time, I'm a bit busy, a little busy. Call me in 3 minutes. All right. So what we're going to look at is, so the 13.5 billion euro bond that we celebrating because we fulfill our obligations. We fulfill our obligations. But we're also looking at, are there some hidden costs that in some way, putting us as a country, into, as we're talking about, now we were talking about the foreign currency, the foreign reserves that declining. So maybe there are other things. So now we're going to speak to the economists who have a better understanding. We were just actually following what our understanding. So
yes, good morning.
Well, we are getting in.
Yeah.
Our money is borrowing the Namibian dollar.
I beg your pardon?
So our borrowing.
Yeah.
We borrow in the Namibian dollar.
Are you asking or are you telling me?
Yeah, I'm also telling you and I ask you.
Yeah.
because I know we follow the Namibian current.
Okay.
And Mr. Ambas has just mentioned that the money has been channeled in different social and economic projects. The one that you say, are we channeling that, are we utilizing that money productively?
Sorry, Uncle Bon, I'm going to call Mr.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Okay. All right, you may come later after the interview. All right, good.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, Namibia. You are listening to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And at this point in time, we're diving into the big news of the week. Namibia's full repayment of 750, or if you put in Namibian dollar, 13.5 billion euro bond. So yes, our country has honored its debt without seeking a renegotiation, a major milestone that set us apart, yeah, from some of our neighbors. But of course, with every victory comes a new set of questions. What does this mean for our reserves? What are the potential costs? And could there be a hidden pressure on our financial system? So to unpack all this, I'm joined today by Mr. Klaus Schadden, an economist and expert in public finance. So good morning, Mr. Klaus, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mr. Osrovili, and good morning to all our listeners.
All right. Now, let's start with the basic. Okay, why is the full repayment of the Eurobond such a significant achievement for Namibia?
Let me maybe use an example. We as private persons can relate to much easier than to state finances. Yeah. It's if you want to, let's say, buy a house and you go to your bank and ask for a mortgage loan, and then you negotiate the interest rate, and they know you as a good customer, so they'll probably give you a prime rate or even less than the current prime rate. And if you stick to the repayment schedule and you settle everything on time, they are very happy, and they will welcome you as a customer again, and maybe offer you also favorable interest rates in the future. Yeah. However, if you turn up at the office of your bank manager a year later and ask to please postpone the next interest payments and repayments by a month or even a year or so, they won't be so happy. And even if you manage to settle them after an extended period of time, your debts, you might not get a loan again, or if they agree on a loan, you will certainly pay much higher interest rates.
Yeah.
So therefore, the resettlement or the repayment, the redemption of the Eurobond by Namibia on time without turning to, let's say, borrowing money
at a large scale on the international market to repay this bond, definitely strengthens an investor confidence in Namibia and its confidence in Namibia and its capacity to settle its financial obligations, and we might have probably better conditions next time than countries who had to restructure their debt and extend the repayment period and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I think we are in a very favorable position should we borrow money on the international market again.
Yeah. The example you gave me earlier, is it what the finance mission actually referred to as we show financial discipline? Would that be that we have actually shown financial discipline?
Absolutely. And I think we should really commend the government and in particular the previous Minister of Finance and the current one that they established a sinking fund long ago. So over time they filled this fund with foreign exchange reserves to redeem the euro bond that had to be repaid in US dollar on time. So we showed financial discipline over a long period of time, took this serious and didn't wait for the last minute and then scramble to find some funds to settle the amount.
Yeah. So and this repayment, how does this affect Namibia's reserves, and what does that mean for us?
Absolutely. That is the other side of the coin, namely that our foreign exchange reserves are, of course, much lower now than before the redemption, because we had to use the foreign exchange reserves to repay. So we are now back at 3 months import cover. That is the international benchmark also.
Yeah.
Let's say the minimum you should have in foreign exchange reserves. So it means actually, even if you do not earn a single foreign exchange for 3 months, you'll still be able to pay for all your imports, be it oil, be it crops, wheat, maize, whatsoever, all your imports. You'll have enough reserves to pay for all these imports, and our import cover is now down to 3 months. It used to be above 4 months. So we are still in healthy condition, but we need to watch this carefully so that we do not drop below this 3 months import cover benchmark.
So the 3 months import cover, so that is that a cause for concern, or is it within an acceptable range of our economy?
That is an international benchmark, so countries should have at least 3 months import cover to continue importing necessary goods and services to keep the economy running, and we are still meeting this benchmark.
Yeah. So now the government plans to refinance part of the Eurobond domestically. How could this refinancing potentially crowd out private sector investment in the financial market?
Absolutely. That is the other thing. These are always the two sides of, borrowing.
Yeah.
Are you borrowing domestically, meaning also domestic lenders, institutions, but also private persons who buy treasury bills or government bonds, then they benefit from the interest payments. They receive an income from these government bonds and treasury bills. If you borrowed internationally, of course, the interest payments leave the country, and you always face the risk of exchange rate fluctuations. And we know that the Namibian dollar continuously depreciates over time against major currencies. So there is a risk that if you borrow a certain amount in Namibia dollar, but denominated in US dollar or euro or so, then after a while you have to pay a much higher amount because of the depreciation. But so therefore it's usually said you should borrow domestically.
Yeah.
You exclude the exchange rate risk. But then if there's not enough liquidity, if there's not sufficient money circulating or saved in the domestic economy, then of course government borrows and others can't borrow. Like the private sector, they can't borrow or only at higher costs, and therefore they might not be able to invest in new business activities or expand their business activities, or also for you as a private person to, as I mentioned, want to buy a house or a car and so on, and you need finance, it might be more challenging. So therefore, we need to be aware that borrowing domestically, if there's not enough liquidity in the market, it could push up borrowing costs, so interest rates, and it could mean that other domestic institutions won't have easy access to loans on the domestic market.
Yeah, and from a macro macroeconomic perspective, what are the long term benefits of reducing our debt obligation, especially in terms of future government spending?
Yeah, we the Minister of Finance tabled the mid-year budget review, and our debt servicing costs have increased now to 16%, while our own benchmark, our own target is 10%, meaning that we spend more and more on servicing debt. And therefore, there's less money available, in particular for capital investment, investment in new assets, in new infrastructure, clinics, hospitals, schools, road, railway infrastructure, and so on and so forth. So therefore, we need to bring the budget deficit that has increased to 6%. Already down and reduce our debt stock so that less money is spent on servicing the debt, and more money is available in particular for capital investment. And capital investment currently is very low. Capital investment is also needed to maintain just the current assets, be it the hospitals, be it the schools, be it other infrastructure, let alone creating new additional assets.
Yeah. The other thing is that Namibia, Namibia's debt to GDP ratio is still quite higher. So even with the Eurobond paid off, how sustainable is Namibia's debt profile?
It's definitely, like with the budget deficit that increased from 4% last year to 6% this year.
Yeah.
Also, the debt to GDP ratio, so our total debt to our gross domestic product, has increased. We aimed at reducing it to 60% or even below 60%, but now we are approaching again 70%. It has been above 70 percent, but we managed to reduce it. It's still, I would say, it's still sustainable.
Yeah.
Other economies, their ratio is far above 100%, but it always depends also how we use the additional debt. Are we investing it in new infrastructure so we create assets that can or will enhance the business climate in the future, or are we spending it on current expenditure,
yeah,
paying salaries, buying medication, school books, whatsoever, all these going expenditure. As long as we spend it on infrastructure and this infrastructure provides a return on the investment, then I think we are on the safe side. But currently, I think it's also used to finance operational expenditure, and that becomes can become unsustainable in over the years.
Now, from your opinion, does this full repayment signal a shift in the way Namibia manages its fiscal policies moving forward? And how do you see this shaping future government spending and debt strategies?
Yeah, the ministry has not really articulated itself about the way going forward, whether we are again tapping into the international markets after we have successfully redeemed the Eurobond, or are we continuing with the current path where we borrow. I think we are borrowing now 85% of our money on the domestic market. Or is what is the debt management strategy for the next couple of years? Are we sticking to the domestic market with, as I said, the risk of crowding out,
yeah,
and maybe also paying higher interest rates on the domestic market? Are we moving back to the international market with the risk of currency fluctuations but lower interest rates? So that's something the Ministry of Finance hasn't really provided any guidance yet.
Okay. Now, how does this repayment impact Namibia's relationship now with international financial institutions like the World Bank and the MIF?
I think, as I said in the beginning, I think we have proven that we are a reliable partner,
yeah,
and we are repaying our commitments on time. We are also repaying the IMF for this rapid financing facility we made use of during the COVID pandemic. We are also there on schedule with the repayments. And the Eurobond was not provided by the World Bank or IMF. These are international financial institutions, commercial banks, larger commercial banks or other financial institutions,
yeah,
that can could buy this Eurobond and invest it to receive a return. So,
yeah,
but overall, I think compared to other countries that had to restructure and extend the repayment period, we are in a much stronger position.
Yeah. Something you probably touched on a little bit, but some people argue that the Eurobond repayment is a sign that Namibia is actually doing well in managing its fiscal affairs. Others feel that we might be ignoring pressing social needs in favor of meeting international obligation. What is your take on this?
I think the second one is a very short-sighted view.
Yeah.
Because, as I indicated, if we spent already 16% on repaying our debts, and we would continue with, let's say, just incurring higher debts to repay the Eurobond instead of using our savings, our statutory expenditure, so interest repayments and so, would be much higher, and there would be less and less available for even operational expenditure, for wage and salaries, or let alone wage and salary increases, and there would be even less money available for investing in the infrastructure, and without improved infrastructure, we will not support economic growth, because investors might choose other countries with a more favorable infrastructure and investment climate. So therefore, I think it's really commendable that we stuck to our repayment schedule, and we have the confidence of international investors in our fiscal discipline and ability to repay.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, looking also at the something that you also touch on, looking at the potential cost of tighter liquidity in the domestic market, what immediate measures could the government actually take to mitigate these effects?
Actually, trying to reduce the budget deficit and therefore the need to borrow on the domestic and or even also the international market, but that is also easier said than done, because it's as I said, the investment into the economy, the capital or development expenditure are already very low, and that is the first point usually you use to reduce your deficit, because you can just cancel or extend projects over a longer period of time. It's much harder to cut on operational expenditure, because you can't just let public servants go and save on the wage bill, or reduce your spending on other necessities, but we need to over time align our expenditure to the available revenue, and revenues are not coming in as expected, in particular because of the shift in the diamond mining sector, where more customers are buying synthetic rather than natural diamonds, and that has quite a significant impact on revenue flows in terms of diamond royalties, dividends from NAMDEP, and corporate income taxes from the diamond sector. And also SACU revenue are under pressure. Economic growth in South Africa is rather negligible. So therefore, we can also not expect a boost from SACU transfers. So we need to find ways to balance the revenue with the, or the expenditure with the available revenue, and by that reduce the need for borrowing.
Namibia's government often touts the importance of diversifying our economy. How does paying off the Eurobond influence our ability now to invest in sectors like agriculture, energy, and tourism?
I think it also sends a signal to international investors that we have not only a stable government but also a stable economy, and therefore it's there are less, let's say, uncertainties also surrounding investment in Namibia. So we could use this also to attract investors, not only in the extractive industries, oil, gas, gold, uranium, or also green hydrogen, but also in manufacturing activities, or the agricultural sector. I still believe has a lot of potential to diversify from the, let's say, traditional crops. We have seen it over the years now with blueberry, with asparagus. There are projects going on with growing bananas in Namibia. We grow already apples and so on and so forth. So, but we also need to invest more into research, to research new opportunities in Namibia and the agricultural sector and other sectors as well.
Yeah. Now, maybe before I let you go, what role does the private sector play in this process? How can business in Namibia seize opportunities that arise from this improved fiscal outlook?
The private sector plays a very crucial role, because it's the private sector, not the government, that should create jobs and that should invest in new business opportunities here in the country. And therefore, I think the launch of the Namibia Public-Private Forum last week, over 2 days, and it was also attended by the president for the full two days. That is also a crucial platform to bring government and private sector together to discuss the opportunities, but also the challenges and how these challenges could be addressed to create a more favorable investment environment. So therefore, if this continues, and I'm quite optimistic, and there are working groups, I think 10 working groups that have started work already, that have presented some recommendations, and more reports are due over the next few months, then we can remove obstacles and hopefully should see more investment, domestic investment, so investment by domestic businesses, but also foreign direct investment that can create jobs and create new linkages in the economy, and therefore increase also the revenue in terms of personal income tax, corporate income tax, value-added tax, and so on and so forth. So it's very important that private sector invests more, cooperates with government, and that can improve our finances as well.
Yeah. Mr. Klaus, and finally, what advice would you give to everyday Namibian who are wondering that, who are wondering what this big physical decision mean for them when it come now from job creation to the cost of living? What kind of advice would you actually give to everyday Namibian?
Let's perhaps say follow the example of the government and manage their finances prudently, not over committing themselves, having too many different loans with certain shops, with car dealers, with the bank, hoping that their income income will always stay the same or increase, but be prepared also for times of reduced income or income is not increasing as expected, or there are personal changes, you lose your job or whatever.
Mm.
But really plan ahead and put more money aside, having some savings or investments to cushion against any changes in your personal situation.
Yeah. Anything I haven't asked you deem important to share with our listeners?
I think we have covered the topic extensively.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insight on Namibia's economic landscape. As always, it's a pleasure to have you breaking down complex issues for us in a way that we can all understand. And your thought on the Eurobond repayment have certainly given us a lot to think about. Thank you for coming through this morning again, and we appreciate your perspective on how Namibia can actually navigate these troubled waters sometimes.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always my pleasure talking to you.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you.
Yeah.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you again, Klaus. And I'm sure we will be hearing more of you as this definitely develops. So, all right. Let me put this down and invite you to come through. All right. Okay. 083-366-091. So I'm going to give you just a few minutes and to allow others to come through as well.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
For me, just a minute to conclude what I have said.
Okay, please. Yeah. Okay. Quickly.
Yes, and then the lesson that we are urged.
Yeah.
We are just reminded by the economist, Mr. Cross, there, that we should follow and lead the example of the government.
Yeah.
That is a lesson that we all need to learn. And the importance of the private sector, because it's been shamed, because the government or the private sector have initiated that forum that took place 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we just need to follow and approach and make sure that we create economic activities. Forget about the diamond that you were talking about when you were talking about it this morning. So even if, of course, they are doing a good job, but can they also diversify their economic activity to align themselves with that vision? So thank you very much, Mike. Andreas, I hope you come and summarize the whole thing for us. And we also need just to create activities that can contribute to that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
083-366-091. If you want to actually come through and add or, you know, react to our interview with Mr. Shade.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm all right, my brother.
Mm.
Oh, well said.
Yeah.
And we listen very well, to economists.
Mm.
And these are the things which we need to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You so see, sometimes things are happening in our country, and when we hear, we repay this, how many people actually go deeper into this to understand what is really going on, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because sometimes even we get angry with the government like that. It's like 700 million, then we're having an outstanding capital project like hospital.
Yeah.
You see? Parliament, extending of Wausea Kutago, you're wondering now.
Yeah.
Or bring back Namibia.
That's why we say keep listening to Eagle FM, man. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But for me, that is a good thing that there is our Namibia committed to do, government.
Yeah.
Because it's very healthy when you're having a transect like that.
Yeah, other countries get in trouble for that, really.
I'm telling you, our neighboring
Zambia itself, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Zambia is another example.
Mm.
like now that they're having at least a couple of leader, they're able to deal with the with that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's good when you're blowing money to use in 10 projects. Look at me. Since 2015, that money is supposed to be like now where we have found ourselves.
Mm.
That money done a little bit when it comes to our economy.
Yeah.
They, I see the other guy saying no about the road from Okanja, the one who is going to Osiakutago. What else?
Mm.
Apart from that, are we not supposed to even have a hospital which is supposed to be done in what in Havana to support this two hospital which we are having? But seriously, I think the money which we borrowed from 2015, we use it in a reckless thing like we are having a dinner to Dubai.
Yeah.
Some women, they went to watch World Cup somewhere with their friends. And the money just disappeared. We didn't, really, you cannot really have something like this. You know, apart from those roads, what else? We're still having a problem when it comes to mess housing. I mean, housing. We have still a problem when it comes to electricity like what the sanitation.
Other, is it Andrea? It's the other caller was saying, look, the government actually, came up with the capital project, you know, the World Capital Project. But the people that are working in these, in like the EDs are the one who actually, you know, have their middlemen. The money is actually being, you know, being used up. And it doesn't, and then what has been planned, the project, the capital project, it doesn't come to fruition because of this corruption that is taking place. And we see that, and I said, well, it's still the government that is responsible, you know?
Exactly.
So, like what we see now, if the minister is not actually doing what they're supposed to do,
fire.
So the minister should do the same thing to the people that are working in their, under him. Yeah, under him. And so the person who's under that person also, it goes until to the very last person, you know?
Exactly.
So that's what we need to see. And it starts on top. Yeah, like now we see that the president is doing it. Everybody now is that okay? I am Sankwasa. I'm gonna fire you. You know,
I will fire you.
Because
yeah,
I have the back of the president. But if you didn't have that before, you know, you can't fire anybody.
That is the problem. You see, because the thing is that
yeah,
when you see these things are happening, is that later on, like it's been done as you. But I'm telling you, like now we see that our president is mean business as it cannot business as usual.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of what we want to see. And like that, you are installing the honesty to the people.
Confidence. Trust and confidence.
Yeah, confidence. Yeah. Public. Confidence. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You are installing the confidence to the people. Because like now, we see that yes, these things are supposed to be dealt with. And even though that even now we're still a member of parliament, it is still pending in some of us. Because remember one thing, that these guys, they take off to protect Namibia. Now, you've done something. You need to go. What do you have to stay in parliament for you? Even if it was a gentleman like an owner, is what? Is, how can I put it? He's just about to resign himself from that parliament.
Yeah, well, that's go to SWAPO. SWAPO are the one who have to decide now that, okay, because of this and this is this, we now
you need to go.
Move you from there. So that's not the government anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But seriously, for the president, we are proud, seriously.
Yeah. So
anyway, Mike, I have to go.
No, thanks, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
We still have 6 minutes. We can still have two or one coming through. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. You're most welcome still to come through. We have been looking at today, the whole discussion today, we're looking at the repayment of our 13.5 billion euro bond that we have, you know, that we have paid off, that we are really paid off, and we should be proud of ourselves. And of course, there are issues. There are other issues that we need to look at. Of course, like what Mr. Klaus and also Dr. Omu sent me a message as well, telling, well, there are other things that we need to look at as well. So yeah, and you know, to say Yeah, probably we should have used better. That euro, that loan could have actually used much, much better than what it is. But, you know, that at least we happy that we pay that off, and that at it's open up, you know, other avenues or other areas that we can improve or that we can focus on. So, and as I said, the when we're talking about financial discipline, is not just about repaying the debt. It's about, part of that is how we use that debt, you know? So how do we use that debt? How we grow, you know, how then we grow and how we protect the nation saving for when we have, you know, maybe there will be a next crisis. You never know. Drought could be around the corner.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Great.
Yeah.
We paid
the Eurobond.
We paid
the debt.
And then we paid it in USA currency.
Yeah.
And that has created.
It has created a decline in our.
The decline in our reserve currency.
Yeah, the reserve currency. Yeah.
Why do we need reserve currency?
Well, to pay, you know, that's our emergency. That's our emergency account.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is where I actually just wanted to a little bit contribute for people to understand that every trading between countries, you need the USA dollar.
Mm.
My question was now, how many reserve currencies do we have? Do we have any other alternative?
Yeah.
We don't have. Why do we have one reserve currency in the world?
And that's, it's not even within our control, actually. Far beyond our control. Unless the BRICS come up with something else, and then, you know, maybe follow that. But otherwise, you know, there's nothing we can do about that.
One of the reasons as to why Trump is imposing his policies now, in countries is to counter countries, or either to strangle countries not to get reserve currencies, because you get reserve currencies by trading, you see, or by importing your product.
Yeah.
So what they actually want is to hold countries accountable and say, you have defrauded, you will have to come back to us to negotiate with you, but these negotiations or this will come with conditions. We see you with the Chinese there, you are giving them a lot of business opportunities, and the Russians and those things, and you know, those people are not our friends. So
how did we come anyway? Time is almost up anyway. Maybe that's a discussion
for how did we come there?
No, I wanted to ask, how did we come, maybe something I need to look up, how did we come to the point where U.S. dollar becomes the international trading currency?
If we had more time, I would have told you.
Yeah.
And then for you to understand is that every war we have in the world was actually protecting the USA dollar being as from the 1960, 1920. At first, the war was about, because they competed with the pound, the British pound.
Yeah, that's what I was now saying.
Yeah, the very first money that, because it was actually aligned with the gold. When you put the gold on the scales,
yeah,
what it gives you is exactly the same value of the British pound, or the same value of the USA dollar.
Yeah.
And then when they went to war in the 1961, 64, 5 to 68, they around with the Vietnam, because they were actually fighting to protect the monetary systems to be controlled only by the British and the Americans.
Yeah.
And the Americans find out, look, there is another viable commodity emerging. That is now oil.
Yeah.
And by that time, the Saudis had more oils in the world. So the Americans, they have done something there of which they are good at, removing the other leader that was actually reading them because he was refusing. And then they went there and say, look, as from now as we are actually speaking,
yeah,
every country that is buying oil must buy in the USA dollar. Now, subsequently, that is where the USA dollars become the world reserve currency.
Yeah. Mm.
And then it happened that even if you are buying gold with Botswana, whatever, anything international, you must use USA dollar. Now the BRICS are coming in and say, no, why do you hold us in hostage like this?
Yeah.
We must have the right to trade us with our own currencies between two countries. So if it wasn't because of that, then we wouldn't be concerned about the USA, the foreign currencies.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
Let's have discussion some other day. Yeah.
Yeah. I came in late. I was listening. I wanted to come in, but then I was caught up with something else.
Okay. No.
Yeah. But I think we can bring up the topic one day and then we can somehow discuss that in detail.
Exactly.
It's a long story, obviously.
And
yeah.
It's quite important to know. It's exactly to understand.
Yeah. People need to know.
Yeah. Exactly.
People need to know, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And that's bring us to the end of our of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Thank you for participating, those who take place, who actually participate on in the program this morning, and also to Mr. Klaus Schade for making time to talk to us and really give us a breakdown of some of the issues that we maybe didn't understand or were not aware, given his understanding and expert as an economist. So thank you, Mr. Shad, again. Let's do that again tomorrow. Let's do that again tomorrow when we analyze another topic or another story. All right. So now I'm going to hand over to Wintuk and leave you definitely in the capable hand of Mr. Franz, coming up with Kuthamosha. Make sure that you stay tuned for other programs that are coming your way throughout the day here on Eagle FM. For me, Michael Shoveli, I wish you a very pleasant day ahead. Thank you for listening.